Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
The pool of Bethesda. And this is the man that, you know, that pool, there was an angel that used to come there once a year or once every season. And once the angel turns or steers the water, the first person to jump in will be healed. Now, why I like the Bible is that there are some things that we read about, like angels steering waters or touching something and then the thing becomes an element of power. We find them in the scriptures. Many of the things that you find around you are also things that the Lord himself sent angels. For instance, when you pray and you are in a vehicle, God forbid, that is about to have an accident, and you pray, say, God help me, God have mercy. It is not God that will come down. He will send an angel. God is too big to be coming for that one. So God will send an angel. That angel is representing God. He's there because the Lord said, go there and help. And the way angels operate, they don't need to... Am I to change this? Huh? Should I switch? All right. So the way angels operate, they can be here now, and in less than a second, they will be in the U.S. They don't fly like that. They don't fly the way planes fly. They move at the speed of thought. All they have to do is imagine they are going to your house now, and they are going to be there. So if you see them flying, that means they are not in a hurry. All right? So we have these angels that come around once a year and they touch the water. And that water becomes a healing agent. Unfortunately, that anointing is only strong enough for one person. So I don't know why God decided that the first, you know, Yoruba people have a proverb, but I don't know how to say it in English. The proverb says in Yoruba, and I hope I'm getting it, that eni to ba yara logungbe. Who can interpret that tongue of angel? It means that the man that is swift, is the person that Ogun will favor. I hope I got it right now. So that means if you are slow, you can miss some opportunity. That's what. So I'm not here for Ogun. I'm just. Are you with me now? So delete the Ogun. Delete the Ogun part. But what they are saying is that if you are someone that wakes up early, you need to get to the island and you wake up 4 a.m. If there's any opportunity in that place you are going to, you will most likely meet it earlier than the person who left Maryland 6 p.m. So there is, even in the spiritual realm, there is the benefit that comes from being on time. Please, are you with me? There is a benefit, or there are benefits that come from being on time. There are some things that if you don't do them when you are supposed to do them, it becomes more difficult. Like trying to go to school as a middle-aged man, 55, 56. You now want to go to school and get a degree. You will get it too, but I hope you know that getting first class is not your dream. You just want to get something so that they can say, I graduated. I had a woman in my class, she was 76 or so. You know, she wanted to get a man. In fact, when she got her first degree, newspaper all over the nation, that 70-something-year-old grandma got first degree. So when I met her for the first time, she was where we were doing our masters. So one day I didn't know her. I just knew she used to greet me. So I sat down my seat. Then she came and she said, "I'm sitting on her seat." And I said, "Mama, they did not write name on any seat here. Mama, sit down anywhere you like." She now said, "Ah, you this boy." I said, "This is my seat." The way I bought seat to laughter. She now said, "My first son is 55 years old." I just scattered laugh. I lost control. I scattered laugh. So when she said, I started thinking about my elder brother. How old is my brother? How old is my head? I realized that our first son is older than everybody in my family. And I say, "Mama, you don't need to use your power. I know you have many powers. You don't need to use your power. Come and sit down." She now said, "Come and sit down. If the man says anything and I don't understand, you'll be the one that will be." I say, "Wait, is that extra punishment? I have left the seat for you." She said, "No, that I should come and be explained to her." She said, "She likes the way I normally explain." I said, "How many times have I?" Mama is like, "You don't deal with it." I don't know. So there are some things that when you decide that you want to do them after some time, it's hard. Huh? It's not as easy as somebody like my son who is learning from a very young age. I am saying that to say to you, start early. Start early. It is a good thing for you to know where you want to go early in life. And you face it. There is no area you cannot succeed in. But you have to be the best in that area. That business or that career you have chosen, that you say you are tired, or some people are there and they are getting promoted, and so I'm just trying to tell you that being on time is not only a physical thing, it's also spiritual. I remember I remember many years ago, I attended a prayer meeting. I was a new Christian. So I attended a prayer meeting, and Bro Bidemi was, you know, I talk about Bro Bidemi a lot. These are the people that established me. He just started praying. After we had finished praying, he just said, "Oh, there's somebody here that God says he wants to place his anointing on, that in the future he will be a man of God." Me, I had many problems in my life, which included persecution. I was persecuted by my family for being a Christian. I've never seen that kind of thing before. That somebody is from a Christian family and is being persecuted for being a Christian. I understand if you are from another religion, huh? And they don't want you to be a Christian. My people claim to be Christians, but when they see me holding the Bible, they become very angry. So every time I come to the fellowship, I know that when I get home, there will be problem. So I had serious problem. It's not becoming a pastor. If you now add pastor to you have killed me finally. Because my father will ask, "Okay, let me not waste my money training you. Since you have decided to shame us, thank God I have another son." But Brother Bidemi was praying and he did not say anything. He just said, "Father, I want you to point to the people you have selected." Pam! I just fell down where I was. Say, "Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit." You know, after the meeting, Brother Bidemi didn't call me to advise me. I didn't go to his office to disturb him the way some people come here. Are you guilty? Don't mean that I laugh here. Are you guilty? Some of you know that he directly disturbed me. It's okay. It's my work. One day when you come, you say, I've followed the back door and I've run away. I take off. So, but this experience was in 1993. Since 1994, that was the last time I set my eyes on Brother Bidemi.
He didn't graduate with us. He had some issues. I don't know. Maybe because of his faith, or his, because his father was a military officer. He did not finish with us. But imagine somebody that God just put in your life for 1 year or 2 years. And this is 2024. See the fruit of that work. I can't write my story without talking about those people. Bide Mi was in SS1. I'm not sure. And I always pray for him. Him, Brother Humphrey, and Lawrence, that God should keep them in the faith. Because I cannot write my story. The only problem I have is that I didn't bother to ask them what was their son name. Because everybody's, once you put bro is the first name. Then his name is the other name. So Brother Lawrence, Brother Gbenga, Brother Humphrey, Sister Titi. That's the way it is. And there was no fornication, no nothing. Everybody was okay. Until one generation came, they say, remove the brother. Say, I'm Kenny. Instead of Titi, say, I'm T. Then we started having problems in the church. So I said all of that to tell you that the purpose of God for your life, the foundation, the opportunity to lay the foundation may be 1 year. And after that 1 year, if you don't lay that foundation, that person will struggle. Time is important, not only in the physical realm, but in the spiritual. Are we blessed? All right, let's read. All these things are inside that scripture. Because me, this is how I read. Oh yeah, give me that scripture. If you can display it. Sometimes I used to ask myself that, the way all this, bro, Lawrence, that will I ever have people who will, do you have the scriptures? That will I ever have people that will talk about me like, my faith in Christ is solid because of Brother Gbenga. I used to, I'm not sure those guys knew what they did to me. They made me believe God was real. They taught me how to cast out devils. Oh yeah, do it. In Jesus' name, out! Yeah. Can you see? Can you see it's moving? Huh? You have it. Go and continue. Well, may God preserve them. All right. Do we have the scriptures? I did not say 1 John. I say John chapter 5 from verse 13 to 17. You see, man of God, as we talk now, this is the best way to do Bible study. We just open it. One verse, we'll be tearing it to pieces. All those people that said Bible is boring, it's not the Bible they read. Oh yeah, see this one. So this is the story of that man that I said was by the pool of Bethesda. Look, so after Jesus healed him, the man went away. Look at the first line of verse 13. But the one who was healed did not know who it was. They asked the man, who healed you? The man now realized that the man did not even know who Jesus was. All the miracles on the internet, CNN, the man doesn't browse. He doesn't have a Facebook account. The man is not aware. He doesn't know who Jesus. He was healed by someone that he did not know. That a man can be in church and be healed by Jesus, walk out of the church, return to his old life, and not know Jesus. For you to know Jesus, you need more than a miracle. Please, are you with me? And the evidence that you have started meeting him is that your life will begin to change. It will begin to look like that of Jesus. Not on Sunday, every day. How you will know you have begun to meet Jesus is when you take some decisions, major decisions in your life, based on what will God say about this thing? Or is there anything in the Bible that is against this thing that I'm about to do? See, let me tell you, and all of you here, hear me, I'm not fighting anybody here. The people I'm fighting, they're on internet, on the internet. No matter what you do, hear me, if you're a real Christian, no matter what you do, okay, as a lady, no matter what you do to yourself, to make yourself beautiful, you cannot beat those in the world. As far as that beauty matter is concerned, you cannot beat them. So let's calm down. Use what your salary can afford. The Bible says God has made all of us beautifully and wonderfully made. You cannot compete with the sons of and daughters of darkness. Don't worry. If you successfully, by the time you get to their level, you will no longer be a Christian. By the time you beat their stand, they now say, I be sinner, but this girl, she be Christian, she do pastors. By the time they start saying that you have gone beyond them. Check. Your name is no more in the book of life. And you as a brother, that you believe that it's only women that have problem in the Bible. I came to tell you, you cannot beat sinful men. You cannot beat unbelievers. When it comes to the matter of achievement. Or showing off. Because a lot of us have money more than them, but we don't show off because we don't want anybody to come and know our house address. But somebody may have $10 billion or $1 trillion, but because of the way he worked hard for that money, you see him wearing T-shirt and jeans. In Africa, they will buy bling bling, start wearing stud, start braiding their hair. I don't have anything against those things. So personally, if I was not a pastor, maybe I would braid my hair. Like Dada. It's one of my vanities. So just for you to know that I'm not against you, it's me. The only thing holding me back is that God did not allow me. He did not say it's a sin, no, but he did not allow me. But if I find myself in Jamaica tomorrow, I will do it. I'm just telling you, sir, you won't say the pastor backslided. If I find myself in Jamaica tomorrow, I will do it because that's what they are familiar with, that kind of. And I will be preaching this message. So you will know that, okay, he's still with us. But I am here to tell you, if you think you can grow, some people now, they did not hear all the Google things I've been saying. It's this last one now that they will hold. Meanwhile, this one is my own. No, it's not in the Bible. They will not copy what is good. It's what is bad in the life of the pastor that they will copy. The one that I've been saying since now, they no go remember that one again. Oh yeah, delete that part. I'm not doing but I die again. What many of the things we call sin, they are not sin. They are just preference. What people prefer. It's not sin. Dada is not sin. Especially if you are using your hair. It's not sin. If a man chooses to plait his hair, he's the one that chose to waste his time like that by going to the saloon. Plaiting your hair is not a sin. If you want, I will open Bible and we'll start Bible study on that one. But for me, I don't want to be known like that. But I will not judge you. There are people that cannot do that thing because they don't even have hair. Brother Pat, they don't get the hair. It's not that they cannot do it. So nature is against them. I'm telling you. Oh my God. Oh my God. I did not know he was around. I said it and he walked in. It's not you. I wasn't preaching about you. Anyway, let's go. I know. Please, are we still in the Bible? So, give me that script. It's like people like Tori. So, let's go back to the Bible. I was just trying to talk about the fact that it's possible for a person to get a miracle. A powerful one. leave that place and go back to sin. I was listening to a man of God. He said he drove in Nigeria. He drove into a filling station, saw them mourning. He wanted to buy fuel. He was traveling. He saw them crying. There was one of the area boys in, I don't know what happened to him. He was dead. He fell down in his body was there in the filling station. And it's like everybody there knew the boy. He said, before he boy fell, he said, the Holy Spirit said, go and pray for him. So, and he went, he laid his hands on him, and the guy stood up. And people shouted, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He said, the next time he was driving across, he said, he saw the boy, like, praise, look at this guy. The guy was, he was smoking away to the glory of God. He was just rocking it away. And, you know, he felt bad. So, and God told him, even though I am a good God, even though miracles can bring men to Christ, but my original intention is that men should come to Christ as a result of hearing the word of God. That's God's original plan. It's very possible that by reason of miracle, they may become Christians, but it is not guaranteed. So we have a brother here that did not know he would get a miracle, and he did not even have faith. And Jesus healed him. By the time they asked the brother, how did you get your miracle? Put up the scripture. The brother said, the one who was healed did not even know who Jesus was. For the moment Jesus healed him, Jesus had withdrawn. A multitude was being in that. So there was a kind of crowd. The moment Jesus healed him, and this is one of the key to operating in the power of God. The day you become more visible than God is the day he will turn his back. Whether you are in the business world, creative industry, finance, you are in business, the day God will turn his back on you, let me tell you, it is the day that people no longer see Christ as the source of your progress, your prosperity, your blessings. They see you like, Mama is hardworking. That day, I know whenever God is going, it doesn't make noise. We just go. The Bible says, and Samson did not know that God had left him. But when the Holy Spirit came upon Samson, you see him, Samson will be doing like Abijah. That's what the Bible said, that the Spirit will be moving. Like all these things you see in all this African magic, it was something they got it from. The power will be moving him. Moving like this. Abijawara. Abijawara. Like there's one Yoruba film I saw on Netflix yesterday. So you see all those kind of charm and this, the way the Spirit will be, because of the, you know, it's as if there's something that has possessed this man. It started with Samson. But when the Holy Spirit left him, the door did not even move. The door did not open. This is the problem. You will not know. You will not know. That's why the scripture says, do not grieve the person of the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is someone that you can offend. One of the ways you can offend him is if he gives you a direct instruction. The Holy Spirit doesn't give suggestion. He doesn't advise. You know, like me now, I've stopped advising people. The Holy Spirit does not advise. If you ask the Holy Spirit, can I go out in this shirt? And he says, no, wear the other one. He's not a nice person. He's not an advisor. So he's telling you, this is what you will wear. That answer was not an advice. It's not that both of you, you know, some people say, I love the Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. This one is not that level where you are doing love with Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit tells you something, it's not an advice. The same way a herbalist, a witch doctor, cannot tell the gods that what they have said is not right. It is only in Nigeria and this generation where people think they can change God's mind. Okay, let's read on, because I have 4 points here. Next verse. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. Where did Jesus find him? Now, Jesus found him in the church. The man still came. Though he did not come for Jesus. So he did not come to share his testimonies. He just came. He rapala, he just come. Jesus was the one that still found him. Do you know that as we are here now, the Lord is here, and it may be that he is still looking for you. As far as all of us were concerned, you are here. But the heavens have declared you missing. So they heard you are in Maryland. Jesus has come now with his angels. Because now you are sitting in front. You normally sit at the back. So they will take you from here. Jesus saw the man. And Jesus went to him. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, "See, you have been made well. See no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Next verse. The man departed. You see, I don't understand some people. Jesus just finished talking to you. And you went to his enemies. Say, "I've seen him. The man that hate me." He was being infantile. He was behaving like a child. When you have people that always ask you, this thing, what is your interest in this? You are always asking, you want to know something about this particular thing in my hand. What is your interest? Do you want to also join me to worship him? No. Do you think the Pharisees did not know it was Jesus that healed the man? But they wanted to be sure the man has not also joined the Kaaba of Jesus Christ. So they were trying to find out. Eventually, the thing became a fight. You know, they went to one council. The man now embarrassed. The innocent man. The innocent man now said, "Do you also want to worship him?" Hey! The bishops and archbishops became very angry. They threw the man out. Said, "Don't come to this church again." And in those days, when they cast you out, your name, you cannot go to any church again. That means from there, I fire straight. To throw a person out of the synagogue was a serious offense. It's not the one that today, we say, "Wait a minute, I'll leave that church. They go to church." Hey, my brother, before, if the pastor say, "Cast him out," the heavens have cast you out too. Heaven, earth, no one will take you again. Just go and create your own empire. Put up that scripture. Say it was Jesus who had made him well. Verse 16. "For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he has done these things on the Sabbath." The Sabbath here is the day of rest. All right. So, this exhortation, this foundation I've laid, is to explain to you why many Christians or why many people are bound or why they are in bondage. But they are not aware. They think it's the devil. Number one, why many Christians or why many are bound? Because of sin. Put up that scripture again. Jesus said to the man, "See, you have been made well." Is that verse 13 or 14 now? "See, you have been made well. See no more, lest a worse thing comes upon you." Now, this man spent 38 years at this pool. You remember, if you read the story. So I used to think the man was 38 years old. So for Jesus to have told him, "Don't sin again, so that something worse will not come," that means there was a time the man was well. It wasn't like this. So that man could have been somewhere around 20, 25 years before relocating to headquarters here. So if you are 25 to 38, what do you get? 63. So this man was old enough to be Jesus' father. But when Jesus wanted to confront him, Jesus has to tell him the truth. You are here because of sin. Ha! Are you with me, sir? Satan didn't bring you here. This thing you are going through is not Satan. You brought it upon yourself when you embraced a life of sin. So, unfortunately, we are not told the sin. But I perceive it must have been something grievous against nature. Against nature. Or maybe it was a life of sin. There's a difference between sinning and a life of sin. A life of sin is someone that's all he does with his life, sin. So Jesus told us that this man was bound because of sin. So when you decide not to sin, you must know why. And believe me, it's not easy. Because sometimes it is the easy way out. All right? And even though God is very merciful, you heard the testimony on Sunday of our dear brother that I gave a prophecy to. And he still lied and he still got the job. But we are forgiving him. Now, that is a sin. A life of sin is to become a perpetual liar. Such that anytime you tell people good morning, they will first look outside to confirm. Because your own time is different from their own time. You may be using Eastern Standard Time. That's the one. I think they use Eastern in the US, right? EST. They have all kind of time where if you say good morning here, it's actually good night. So we have to check to be sure which which time you are, which one you are using. Eh? So you have to be very careful. Jesus himself told us that if this man goes back to sin, he will not come back to this state. He will go into something worse. So is it possible that for those of us that are praying and praying and praying, and we are not getting some types of results, that maybe because we have embraced a life of sin? Now, I hope you are all with me. Those of you on the, what is this, left side, on this side. I was talking to someone, and the person made a statement. The person is someone most of you know, but I won't mention his name. And the person said to me that God has revealed to him that the secret to his financial prosperity is tied to sexual purity. That's for him. It is in the scriptures that you should not commit some sins. But God told him, he said, you, the kind of money I want to give to you, there will be no woman that can say no to you. So I tie your prosperity to that. If you decide to go in that direction, the river I have given you will dry up. Do you know what your blessing is tied to? Is it possible that there is something? There's a particular brother I was listening to, Kenetegin. Kenetegin said the brother was he deaf or blind or something? And he has gone to so many places. Prayers, doctors. When in those days, when they pray for healing, people stand in the healing line. So the pastor has to pray one for everybody. So when he got to that brother, said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, ask him if he will repent and start tithing. You see, before you argue or talk about some things, try to do your research. Your government do not even trust you to pay your tax. They remove it before they give you your salary. The government is a thief, and they know you are a thief. How many of you got your salary then? You now paid your tax yourself. See, even you laughed. Otilo, once I see the alarm, that money don't go with that. As much as you love your government, but you just say, what are they even doing for us in this country? I'm not paying. Have you now? And you will not even, God, Holy Spirit will not ask you what you did. Holy Spirit, in Nigeria, the law that controls here, it doesn't work in any other country. If you bring something that is working in America to this country, it will stop working. A machine, you import it. The machine will work in the company where it was produced. When you get to the border, if you still plug the thing, it will work. When you get on the IC, somewhere on the Pacific, but you are not in Africa yet, too. If you connect it to a socket in the boat, it will work. Once you land at Apapa, you now hear that alternator is missing something. The thing will not work again. So God has a special... That the day God will judge us, he will sit down, drink, eat, because our matter is a very long... Kentucky told the brother, and me, this is how I look at it. I look at scriptures, especially the ones that Jesus himself said, made with his mouth. Okay, give me Matthew 23:23. Let's look at what Jesus said. Because somebody told me, he said, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. That anything Jesus said to Pharisees, he was attacking them. We should not be talking. I said, okay, if I isolate everything Jesus said, that those things he said to the Pharisees will be more. Which means those things, we should not believe them. He said, I said, no. When Jesus speaks, is he speaking truth? Or is he just talking? If we can agree that anything Jesus said is the position of heaven, then give me Matthew 23:23. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cummins, and have rejected the weightier matters of the law. So, what are the weightier matters of the law? Justice, mercy, and faith. So, Jesus was saying to them that, look, it's not everything in the scripture that have the same weight. When God looks at the way you treat your fellow brother, it is more important to him than any other thing. Some people only believe that me, it's just me and my God. It's a lie, yo. It's a lie, yo. I came to warn you. God said things like justice, the way you treat your business partner or you cheat your customers, God says those things are important to him. Mercy, when people offend you, are you able to forgive? God says those things mean a lot to him, even more than tithing. He said these things are weightier. That means if you take them and put them on the scale will go down. God's scale of measurement and judgment, when you put faith, mercy, justice on that scale, it will just go down because it's very heavy. He said, this ought you to have done. What is it? What are these things? Justice, mercy, and faith. He said you should have done. Without leaving the others. What are the others? So, mercy may have over 10, maybe 50 marks. This one may have faith, maybe 50 points. But tithe may have 30. So, if you have 4 questions or 5 questions, is 30 not significant? So, what are you talking about? Because this one here has to do with your prosperity on earth. This one has to do with your spiritual state. Are you with me? So the thing about tithing is not about giving money. It's about honoring God. It's about honoring God. It's not about the money. Baba, you bless me this month, my business with 100,000. Thank you. I came to honor you. This tithe, let it go into the expansion of your work. In that tithe, maybe there are people in church that are not going to school. We will use some of that money to sponsor them. Your money has entered somebody else's life. When you get to heaven on that day, God will say, I was thirsty and you gave me water. But you will not remember. You know you're a big man now. You will not remember again that part of what you gave was what was used to treat somebody that was sick, that was used to pay somebody's school fees, and God saw everything. You are the one who has lost record. God calculated everything. And everybody who tells you don't tithe, they have where they are, they have their own altars where they are giving. If God cannot control your money, God cannot claim you. Put up our scripture. Where was that? I said the issue of sin. Now, speaking about sin, we want to look at two aspects. Number one, those things that are clearly written in the Word of God. Clearly written in the Word of God. The Bible is littered with all these things. I don't think there's anyone who probably needs a... But if you read the Old Testament, you will see a lot of them. In the New Testament, everything has been summed into love. So anything that you do that is not as a result of your love for God and for humanity, God will call it sin. If you help somebody with the intention to show off, it is sin. So, that is the first thing. We can stay here forever, but I don't want to make you sad. So this matter is very important. And I'm particularly interested in this one because Jesus mentioned it. That sin not only can hinder you, but can bring you back into bondage. So it's very important. Number two, Matthew chapter 9, 28 to 31. Matthew chapter 9. In those days, when we open that, when a scripture is called, we have to wait for everybody to open it. And now you will know who borrowed the Bible is using. Is that it will not flow in his hand. If he gets to Matthew 9, the thing will jump to Zephaniah. We'll come back again. Some people say, sorry, Matthew says New Testament. New Testament. Okay, we know he's new. He's a new person. Do you have it? Matthew 9, 28 to 31. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? So they wanted Jesus to heal them. And they said to him, yes, Lord. Go on. And then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be to you. 30. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows it. Now, this one, I will not go here, but this is the Jesus of the Bible, not the one on your calendar. He did a miracle and warned the person. Warned us, say, don't post it on social media. Don't go on WhatsApp and say, this is how big my God is. The people that are on your matter, they are on WhatsApp. I know you don't have prayer life. You cannot read Bible. Leave them, let them continue to think you are still suffering. But be enjoying your blessing. Oh yeah. See that no one knows it. Verse 31. Finally. Jesus told them. You see, when I read this kind of scripture, I become comforted. That, because sometimes when I talk to people, I spend 3 hours counseling them. As they are walking out of the church like this. Is the gala I said they should not eat, they'll go and buy. The gala that I told them that when I was praying, God revealed to me that they should not eat gala again. That gala, the woman, there's one woman there, and the thing will be very fresh. They will buy 2. And me, I'm here, I'm looking at them. So I used to be very angry. In fact, at some point, I said, I don't want to cancel anybody again. After my message, go and leave, go home. But I now saw that even Jesus, they did the same thing. They did the same thing to Jesus over and over again. You think, go back to the 30th verse. If you understand English, he warned them. Do you know what it means to warn? After the miracle, he didn't smile. He said, I am warning you. That's the body language of warn. It's just like you tell your child, if I pay for this jam form again, this jam, and you fail, you are going to learn mechanic work. If your mother begs me, I will not listen. If your uncle, the one at Aja, look, let me tell you, mechanic, learning to be a mechanic is a wonderful job. Maybe that's where your destiny is. Because the man knows that you are already, these are your least work in the compound, in the neighborhood. That mechanic will boo you. So the man will not say, I will send you to your uncle in Aja to cancel. No. After this jump, if you fail, as Maruf, I will just hand you over to Maruf. For the next 7 years, you go and learn work. So that is the body language here. He warned them. And it's as if he's prophesying. The Holy Spirit's upon him. Ah, God, yeah, look, do you want to keep your healing? We will turn. All of that one did not move those people. They left, went to buy gala. Say, what is here? Is it not God that healed? Why is the man taking the glory? So it's Jesus that is a man. Jesus that heal you. The person who heals you doesn't have the power to correct you. See, it's just a man. See, this life, you have to pick. If the pastor is preaching, you pick the one that is your own. It's not everything the pastor says that is from God. But when you are by the pool of Bethesda and you could not enter the water, before you get there, somebody has got his healing. You could not argue. Now that God has healed you, that your mouth that was like this, that was bent to the back, they have healed you now. It's now that you know in your mind that, everything they say, you have to check it. You have to check the word of God. See the one that, to be sure, because it's not every pastor that is preaching the truth. You have to check with the word of God. You know how to check the word of God when you are by the pool of Bethesda and you did not, you stayed there for 38 years. Jesus warned them. What did they do? Please, let the Bible speak. 31. But when they departed, they spread the news. I said, my God, brother. You know me before now. We were under that tree there. That's where we were suffering. There was a time you gave me, your son said, you sent me 500. My God, if you see what happened to us today. My God. My God. My brother, there's God though. Meanwhile, Jesus knew why he was saying. Most of the time, what people did not realize is that when he says, don't talk, it's because he will have to pass through that place into another village. But by the time you go about and you talk, people will now gather. They will not let him go into that village. In fact, there was a time Jesus was going to enter a particular village and they blocked him. They say the Pharisees sent people there. They said they don't want him. Because of this kind of people that cannot keep their mouth shut. Your testimony is good, but if Jesus says don't share it now, it's for a reason. Sometimes you are not strong enough to defend your testimony yet. Sometimes you are not strong. Keep quiet and stop lying on the altar. Tell us what did not happen. Because the testimony is powerful, but it's not sweet. But when Ose came out and shared, you now realize that, the way people clap for Ose, this man, you now added some things. Meanwhile, the person that healed you say, don't talk. It's not all testimonies that are testimonies. Are you blessed? So what is the second point here? From this scripture, lack of faith. Lack of faith. The reason why many people are bound, even though they have heard the word of God, that word is supposed to be converted or turned into faith. The word of God is not powerful because you heard it. The word of God is powerful because it becomes faith in your heart. Whether you're a pastor or a bishop or whoever, if the word of God does not become faith in your heart, you will be useless spiritually. The anointing will not cover you. The pastor is not exonerated from living a life of faith and dependence on the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you now, my brother, have faith in God. My brother, I also need to remember that that message is for me. Your life will not change. You may be anointed though, but you will suffer. If you don't know what it means to have faith in God. And Jesus told them, he said, do you believe I am able to do it? Because the truth of the matter is, they don't believe. I went to preach in a meeting some years ago, and there was a blind man that came there. He did not hear my message anyway. He came as soon as I was done. But the anointing was still available. And I went outside where he was standing. I said, do you want to be healed? He said, no. Remember, like, who brought this man? He kabalabobo shata. I cannot start preaching again. The anointing was there. I said, do you want to be healed now? He said, no. I was confused. What is the prayer of every blind man? Is it not to be healed? I said, what do you want? He said, I want money. Well, me, I have anointing. I don't have money. Those are the days I use my leg to go up and down like a roaring lion. Anywhere I say I preach. I'm not the Messiah you are looking for. Me, I came with the Bible and the anointing. So may the Lord go with you. The man has become so used to his blindness that it is now a business. He doesn't want... Because if you heal him now, he won't know what to do again. The man did not have faith. It's just like people say, pastor, just speak a word. Just speak a word. I said, I cannot just speak a word. What is your prayer point? There are some of you, you've come to me and you know yourself now as I'm talking. Some of them are online. Say, pastor, I just want you to pray for me. I prayed for somebody a few days ago. Was it on Saturday? And I slept off. The person was in front of me. I went to preach somewhere. After that powerful message, I thought everybody would just go. They said they came to the pastor, people have queued up outside. I said, for what? Say they want to see you. Me, that the anointing left me when I was on the altar. The anointing left me, moved to another location. But they did not know. They said, I want to see the man of God. I told the person, what do you want? Say, pastor, just say anything. I said, anything? I said, no, my own anointing doesn't work that way. Tell me, so that if I pray and God answers, we need to know that it is what we prayed about, that God has done. What do you want? Say, just anything. I say, okay. Anything I mean. So that she can go quickly. I say, Father, in the name of Jesus. You know, actually, I dozed off. I was tired. You know, I was actually tired before I came to that place. But there's a way prayer makes you sleep. You know, I was like 30 seconds, I slept. Like, I came back. I said, stand up. She thought I had a revelation I wanted to tell. I slept. I just said, don't go. Go and succeed. Go and succeed. What will I tell you again? You said you want prayer. While I was trying to pray, I slept. That means God, go. God has answered you. Both the pastor and the person is no faith. If I now tell the person that while I was praying for you, I slept, I would destroy her. So I don't want that. So I just go and rejoice. Go and rejoice. Go and rejoice. If I tell you, go and rejoice. You better ask, pastor, did you sleep when you were... Faith is a product of the word of God. Let me tell you, go and get a Bible. It's good to use your iPad and all of that, but there's just something different when you read from the Bible, I'm telling you, your own Bible. Are you with me now? Go and get a Bible. The money you would have used to take an Uber or something, gather it for 1 week, buy a Bible. You can buy King James, anyway, and read. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Sometimes you read it, but your spirit has not heard it. So you read it again. Sometimes it is at the fifth reading. Pop! Something just happens to you. You finally see it. Oh, I've been in bondage because of sin. Oh, everybody say I'm a good man, but in my heart, I'm a sinner. Oh, I found it. You may be a giver and be poor because locust and grasshoppers have entered your harvest because of sin. Oh, so I need to have faith in Jesus alone. I need to have faith in Jesus alone. Not that you have faith and you are going to some other people here and there that are not of Christ. Somebody came here to my office to see me about 2-3 years ago. Said he's coming from one Baba somewhere. You know those people, they are around all this Gbeda, Shasha. What was that place towards AIT? Alagbadu, all those areas where EFCC cannot catch them. But they have their own radio station, though. All those Yoruba radio stations in Lagos. That's where they sell their markets. When the thing started with Energy 2000, we did not know some years ago. Okay, some of you know Energy 2000. We did not know that the thing was going to be serious like this. Now you will hear Christians say, it is God that gave us nature. Some of these men, God has given them the wisdom. Is there any one of them that will give you a leaf and will not speak to the leaf? I'm still looking for one. Do you know even in some of our markets, there are some vegetables you will not find, except with some women. Traditional women, not all this grammar, speak English. And when you go there, they will touch it and tell you this one. Many of those women are not ordinary people. They will tell you this one. If you smile and you are respectful, you greet her, good morning, ma. It's okay, this one, I will help her. Say, God has given them the wisdom. Which wisdom? Or you mean the fallen angels that slept and gave birth to giants, gave them wisdom? That's why your faith is corrupted. There was a boy, he used to come to this church. Not even a boy, it's a man. Because he may be online now. I may have rejected him. I've been shouting. And God knows. You see, this is why I'm shouting. Some people still think I'm a comedian. But everything I'm saying is in the Bible. This is the way I shouted and shouted and shouted. The way I'm shouting. If you think what I'm saying is, go to 7 different churches from next Sunday. Come back and tell me if you are hearing this kind of thing. There are churches that preach righteousness. But most likely, out of the 7, you will see one if you are lucky. Because most people don't want to offend the members. After I shouted and shouted like this, the boy went to Benin City. His mother came from one country abroad, from Europe. The mother, who has been in Europe for over 30 years, came back with this one. So let's go and see Baba. Took the boy to Benin City. Say, Baba, this is my son. The man was doing some things. Gave prophecy to the mother first. That one came with the friend. Then did some things. The boy said, your own. Say, they should bring water. They started washing his head. inside the bucket. He said that was when he became afraid. He wanted to call me. I said, me? I said, I was the one that sent the man to take away your glory. See? He said he was afraid. I say, after all I have taught you. I say, your glory is gone. No. He said he knows. He said when the man started saying some things and was washing his head, he said he knew something left him. He now said, Pastor, what do we do? I said, I don't know. This is not my area. My area is Bible. Inasmuch as I have warned you, I did not listen. I have gone to God, and God did not say anything. So go with your problem. That's what I do. I can't do anything outside. If God, there are some people that will commit crime. Even while they are committing, God will say, tell them to do this, they will be free. Meanwhile, that period, that day that he was in that man's house, I was in Benin City preaching. This, I'm always here. That weekend, I was also in Benin City. If he had come to our Benin church, he would have seen me. And that one, because when I go to our Benin church, I preach in Pidgin English. So all these Ngbati, they don't know me as Ngbati, all this. I speak Pidgin. When I call, I say, boy, say they feel me. That's why they preach for Benin. So all this, God did not send me to speak English. He asked me to preach the word. So any language that, if I go, I say, oh, glory, hallelujah. They will not come to that church again. And I warned the pastor, you are not here to speak English. If the people here now wafi, please follow them and be wafi go. You understand? So the brother did not come. And that problem is still in his life till today. I refuse to pray for him because God did not give me permission. You don't have faith. So somebody took you somewhere else. This matter of faith is so important. You must have faith for yourself. Hallelujah. You must have faith for yourself. You must develop faith in the word of God. It is so crucial because Jesus asked those men, do you believe I can do it? The same way I asked the blind man. And he said he did not believe that it was his sight that he needed. So don't assume that because someone is suffering, they want to be free. Sometimes people like the suffering because of the attention. There was one woman that somebody I know, I won't tell you if I'm the one or not, was praying for to be free and delivered. And at some point, they say, God, why is this woman offering? God said they should ask her. And the woman said, I don't want to be healed. Mama, why? Say, if I'm okay now, nobody will bother about me again. My children will be doing what they like. So as I'm sick now, all of them will be coming. Mama, how is he doing you? Say she likes the way they are caring for her. Number 3. Why many are bound? Let's rush. Are you blessed? Now, the second point is lack of faith. The third point is because they fail to grow in their faith. They fail to grow in their faith. So, the anointing for today may not be sufficient for tomorrow. You have to keep growing by listening to the word of God, listening to encounters of faith, testimonies. Testimonies. Sometimes when you... Okay, how many of you were in the church the day the mother of one of our sisters who was crippled walked here during the live service, Sunday service, till about 2 years ago? Yeah? Yeah, she was sitting here. I didn't pray for her like that too. What happened that day was that we were doing I think I finished preaching and I was here and I saw a vision of myself going to her and asking her, Mama, do you want to be healed? So what I did was I acted what I saw. That's what happened. I went to her. She was seated there with the crutches. And I said, Mama, do you want to be healed? What's wrong with you? I just touched the leg. I grabbed her hand. I said, walk with me. We walked here, around here, I think maybe 2 times. I said, third time, walk alone. And she started walking by herself. Till today, she was here like last month or so. She's still walking with those 2 legs. Now, those testimonies of faith can help you grow. Because all of a sudden, my eyes have seen the work of God. It's not just like what Gideon said, oh, we have heard. No, I have heard, but I have also seen. Those things should help you grow in your faith. And if you really now want your faith to grow, you should go out and begin to demonstrate these things. You don't need to be a pastor to heal the sick. If somebody in your office is telling you, sister, do you know that I'm having migraine? You should not immediately become a doctor and start saying, I used to have that thing 2 years ago. It was, you've used M&B pastor, but it will not work. There's this medicine. Hold on. Now check your pulse. I still have some here. Use this one. This drug, you cannot find it anywhere. One tablet, you will see. You spoke to somebody for 20 minutes and you marketed diclofenac and other drugs. You didn't talk about Jesus. And you say you're a Christian, you're not wearing your ring. Are you a Christian or a pharmacist? That would have been a major opportunity for both you and that person to grow in your faith by praying for the person. And let me tell you how to pray on those kind of situations. Don't go there and begin to say, our Father, we are here again. That demon will never go. Jesus said, heal the sick. Cast out devils. Cleanse the lepers. He didn't say, ask me to do it. Jesus didn't say, ask God to do it. He said, you. Heal the sick. That is, become a doctor, a spiritual doctor. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. What does that translate to? Say, kabato, out, you foul spirit, you spirit of infirmity. If you have to shout, shout. There are some anointing that work with noise. Out in the name of Jesus. Go and lie down. 30 minutes, get up, you'll be fine. But you've begged for your destiny. You beg to eat. You beg to collect promotion. You beg for everything. Anything you have in your life, you have to beg for it. You will never grow in your faith. You cannot be a doctor. You are not a doctor. Leave the work of pharmacies for those who went to school. You are an accountant. You cannot be walking about with pharmacy in your bag, with a whole drug pharmaceutical store in your bag. You have Coartem. You have M&B. You have diclofenac. What else do you carry about? Tell me now. Let me make the announcement. What else do you carry in your... Ibuprofen. Ibupain. What else do you put in your pocket? Loratidine. What else do you have in your pocket? Oh my God. I have never heard of that one. Now, but do you have your Bible in your bag? Do you have your Bible? I didn't. Oh my goodness. So, you have to please tell your neighbor, grow in your faith. It's very important. This is the reason why a lot of people are bound, because the cuff that is around them, they've not outgrown it. The scripture tells us in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, it says, when you become fat, you will break the yoke that is around you. There are some deliverance that only come with spiritual growth. There are some deliverance that only come with what? When you grow, you break off that thing. You just notice you are no more asthmatic. Just know that for like a year now, you are no more asthmatic. It's not that you are... No, because you started growing, you just took off. Number 4. This is very important. Let's round up here. James 5:14. James chapter 5 verse 14. This one is very important. And this is where a lot of Christians have been robbed. Are you blessed? The word of God should be practical so that you can... This is the way may I read my own Bible. James 5:14. Are you there? The Bible, the electro... You see why I say you must have your Bible? This one is offline. You don't need internet for it. Is any among you sick? This is supposed to James. Ask him if there's anyone here. We are not expecting you to be sick, But it's possible. He says, any among you sick, let him call for the elders. The moment you are in the congregation of the saint, you have the benefit of not having to use all your faith. You have anointed men in the house. The benefit of being in the church and you are sick, you don't have to use all the anointing and all the faith you have to get your healing. Because why? You have elders. You have pastors. The word elder there is the word pastor. Call for the pastors of the church and let them pray what? Over him. Not pray to him. Not prayer of agreement. This one is not prayer of agreement. Too. It's prayer over. We take authority, you spirit of infirmity. Shakatava. You spirit of dizziness. Out! There was a way we used to pray in those days. Those are prayer warriors. Some of them will even open your ear like this and shout inside. The demon will run out. Now, if I shout your ear, now carry me to Insta blog. See, that pastor is very noisy. In those days, we have some women. When they are saying, when they are praying, pray, you are just doing like, you are not moving. They just open your ear. Ow! You, because you are not expecting it. Say, yes, yes, the thing is coming out, man. Where are those women? Ah! The church has lost something. When you... Now, I have some of my people in the UK. When I want to pray for them, I say, hi, Benga, you know, I'm just going through a tough time. I cannot pray over you. Are you getting it?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, Benga, it's been a while. You know, I'm trying to reach you. I know we are classmates on campus. But the moment you go that route, I cannot activate James 5:14. We are at the same level. Benga can pray prayer of agreement. But for me to use my anointing, I have to be above. Huh? The Bible says, he said the lesser is always blessed by the greater. Not because I'm better than you, but if you think I'm graced enough to help this matter, you have to understand. He said, let them call to the elders of the church, put up that scripture, and let them pray over him or her. Let them anoint him with oil. Some people are saying, we don't need the anointing here. We don't need the anointing here. Mary is not the mother of Jesus. Mary is not the one that gave birth to Jesus. Jesus is... May you know a problem that will take you to synagogue. Amen. Yes. You never see. If you see some problem, you'll be saying, just take me anywhere. All I want is solution. May you not have that kind of problem. See some people, they will not ask their pastor to pray over it. They will not be going from church to church. You will never be healed. See what the Bible says. Say, go to your church and let the pastors. Do you know that this scripture, Pastor Tope, what it means is that if it was your church where you are known as a member, even if it is the least among the pastor, Pastor Benga is not there. Huh? Three of them just come together. Our sister is sick. Let's pray for her. Sister, please kneel down. Let's pray for her. And they surround you. They have activated the scripture. Because they are also your pastors. He said, let them pray over you, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Do you know what many of us did? We took the anointing. We did like this. It will not work. Go and use it to fry egg. It will not work. I am here to announce to you it will not work. I am here to tell you why it is not working. The scripture says, anoint him in the name of the Lord. Which means when I, oh my God. When I open the bottle of oil, Father, in the name of Jesus, I must active in the name of the Lord. In the name of, I must do it in the authority that Christ has given me. Both in consciousness and by utterance. Stop behaving like a babalawo. Even if they pray on the oil and give you, anytime I want to, Father, in the name of Jesus, I anoint myself. Do it in the name of the Lord. There was one lady, one of our churches, I will not tell you the church, but where we always do Holy Communion with Ribena. The ladies, once we are done, she will pack the remaining communion. She's taking it home. If you want to see her red eye, tell her not to take it. She will tell you, did you partake when the bishop was giving us, say yes, so stay your day. Me, I know what I'm dealing with. Everything here, I'm taking them home. Because she needs to go and fight the battle. That's not what we are talking about here. So for her, she will be taking communion, and she's always having battles. Please pull up that scripture. Let's round up. This one is very important. If you do not believe that your pastor is anointed enough to be your pastor, because that's the qualification, change your church. You don't have to be in a church out of emotional sentiment. Oh, is this the church? My grandfather was a church organist. My uncle was the lay reader. We are five generation Baptist members. Amen. 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 I hear you. But look at all the battles surrounding you. Me, the person talking to you now, I can go to Baptist and not have problem. You know why? I have been trained for years. If you throw me in Karanamoda, Sambisa, I will still be a Christian. I will grow. You, can you? Because now, because you have a small problem, you stop coming to church. So when you find yourself in Sambisa, what will you do? If the church you are going or you are attending, you don't consider you have other reasons apart from the fact that God is using that pastor and that this is where you should be. You shouldn't be there. When we started this church, I made up my mind that my wife can wake up one day and say she's not coming again to this church, and that I will let her go wherever she wants. Maybe I'm a husband, but not a pastor. So go to wherever your pastor is. That's my own wife. And even now, I've left the door open that she can still come, maybe this night, and say she has found another church, Harvest Global, something, something. I'll say, who is the pastor? Say, okay. Let me check him. Whether he's a real pastor or he's a herbalist, I'll check him. If he okay, can go. But leave my children here, where I can be shakataya over their head. Or you can go to wherever you have found peace. Put up that scripture. Because destiny is a personal race. So. He said, we must anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. So my emphasis here is, do you have faith in your prophet? 2 Chronicles 20:20 tells us. Okay, put up 2 Chronicles 20:20. Let's round up here. Are you blessed? There are things that we go through. Even like my wife and I. Sometimes she calls my friend, Pastor Desmond, to discuss with him. And he prays with her. Now, all of us, we are friends from university. But my wife knows better than to see Pastor Desmond as just a friend. My wife knows better that this is a man of God. Yes, we are friends. If my friend, Pastor Desmond, wants to claim anybody as his best female friend, it will most likely be my wife. But my wife knows better that this one is a man of God. So she can call him and say, oh, this one. Where is Guze? He's asking about him. Say, it's not. Oh, okay, let's pray. I'm not angry. My friend also may have some challenges, some things, maybe accounting or financial. He will call my wife to ask for advice. He won't say, because he said, you may be a man of God, and money go the loss under you because you know Sabi book. No Sabi book, no anointing you get. The anointing is not for everything. You don't know how to. I was teaching my son how to hold money. I say, hold money like an Igbo man. Oh, yeah, hold it like this. Hold it. It was not hold you. I said, no, you're not getting. Hold it. They say, There's a way you hold it. I say, Joshua, hold it where? They say, hold it. You have to be, anything has to do with money, you have to think like an Igbo man. I'm telling you, because there's a way you're, after you grow, you can't hold money like that again. I'm not joking now. Why are people looking at me like this? Please, who understands what I'm saying? Because all of you went to school. Rapat, I know you don't lie. What I'm saying, I say there's a way. If you grow, if you have not learned it when you are young, you are holding just 10 pieces, so the money will be scattering in your hand. Be laughing. That's how you go and learn how to count money. You'll be laughing. After now, you go and embarrass her. Say, okay, count this money. The money will be doing, the money will be the one counting you. Because you did not learn. And your pastor still came to church to tell you that this is how to hold the thing. You laughed. Now we gave you £10,000. See the way you are behaving. You must believe in your pastors. It's in the word of God. It's for your peace. It's for your own good. Sometimes you may be spiritually tired and weak. Even though you are praying, but you are down. You really don't know how to pray again. Your pastor's job is to be praying with you and praying for you. Not to gossip, to pray for you. It's your right to tell your pastor, "Pastor, pray for me." It's your right. Even if the pastor doesn't know your name, but you have been called, say, "Pastor, I want to do something. Please pray, join faith with me." It's your right. Not to be smiling at the camera. Go and you may be missing out on many blessings. And you don't need to wait. If it's a principle, even though the scripture says here that if you are sick, but it doesn't have to be sickness. It may be something with your business. It may be anything. "Pastor, please, I need you to pray with me. This. Oh, okay. It's your right. Okay, it's like, you are not hearing me. I say it's your right. I didn't ask you to go and pack your load and move to the pastor's house. So I said, it is the work of your pastor. To what? To pray for you. So that place you have been going to, if you have any problem now, can you walk into the pastor's office? No, I'm asking that your pastor, or in that country where you come from, or that village, if you have a problem now, can you walk in there? Or they will not say, "Oh, the pastor is gone. You know, you need to see one of the house fellowship leaders. You need to see the head usher." Your pastor is yours. He is your own pastor. For other people, he may not be, but for you, he is your own. Uh-huh. So, and if he's your own pastor, he can pray for you. Thank you. He can pray for you and you'll be healed. What is the next verse telling us? He said, if the pastor prays for you, please display the next verse of that scripture. The scripture. Please write down this one. Go back to James 5:15 now, right? Go to 15. After they anoint you in the name of the Lord, then a prayer of faith will be said. So the pastor doesn't have to be anointed. He doesn't have to be a prophet. The moment he anoints you in the name of Jesus Christ and he declares over you, the scripture said the prayer of faith will save the sick. Not your own faith. The prayer of the prayer of faith that those pastors came together and said, "Father, your daughter, healer of asthma, this is not a prayer of anointing. The pastors have come together, they held their hands and they prayed for you. They may not be anointed, but because they have activated this principle, he said the prayer of faith will heal the sick and the Lord will raise him up. But this prayer of faith is not only useful enough for healing. The Bible says if there is sin in that life, the prayer of faith will cancel it. That's how powerful the prayer of your pastor is. The prayer they said was not for forgiveness of sins. It was for healing. But this prayer of agreement has the power to cancel sins. It's there. Look at it. That means if the reason why that person is sick is because of sin. The Bible says 1 will chase 1,000, 2 will chase 10,000. What about 3 people? 100,000. So if 3 pastors come together and say, "Father, your daughter, And there are cases I've experienced where we prayed for somebody and the person was not free. The moment we brought another person to join us, everything changed. Because the prayer moved from just personal ministration to prayer of agreement with another man of God, and the problem was solved. Hallelujah. So go and look at all these points. And I pray the Lord will give you wisdom in Jesus. I want you to rise on your feet and thank God for what you have heard. Thank God for what you have heard. Because light has come. Illumination has come. You will never be the same again. You will never be the same again. I want you to thank God for what you have heard. Thank Him. Thank Him for the power to live above sin. Thank Him for the power to tap into the realm of faith. Give Him glory. Every time you hear God's word, the first thing you must do is to give Him glory for His word. Go ahead and thank Him. Go ahead and thank Him. Go ahead and thank Him. Go ahead and thank Him.